Hi everyone, this is Willie Crawford, and I'd like to welcome you to Willie Crawford Teaches Real Internet Marketing. On today's show, I'll be joined by someone I consider a master of internet marketing. His name's Odin Sorensen, and I know you're really going to enjoy the show. I do invite you to submit your comments or questions to us during the course of the show. You can do that via chat, or you can call us on the phone, and the call-in number for today's show is 347-215-8784. That's 347-215-8784. And as I said, our guest today is Odin Sorensen. A little about him. He was born February 17, 1969, which means he just turned 39. And part of what we'll talk about today is the fact that he celebrated his 39th birthday by quitting his job, of a six-figure job that he had for many years. Odin was born in Reykjavik, Iceland, and his family moved from there to Denmark when he was 5 months old, and he says he's never been back and he doesn't speak Icelandic. He had a brother whom he lost at age 13 from leukemia, and he has a sister that's 4 years younger who also lives there in Denmark. And appears the other love of his life is his five-year-old daughter, Jasmine, that you see on his graphics on his website and stuff like that. So it's obvious, you know, the love he has for his daughter. He explained that Jasmine's mother and he aren't together anymore, but they live fairly close by. His ex is from Ivory Coast, which is a modern West African country that's French-speaking, and Jasmine lives near enough by where he can go and visit her anytime he wants to. Odin says he's always been technically interested, and even at age 14, he started a business with his mother selling Sinclair ZX Spectrum computers, which were known as Timexes in the U.S. And later he went on to develop a software company where he created the highly popular FidoNet mail reader called Gold ED. He studied electrical engineering for almost 3 years, but he quit his job to start another job as a software developer. He quit studies, I guess. And until recently he was working with one of Denmark's largest mobile service providers, which serves 600,000 customers, and he had technical tasks, QA, and also the marketing side of things. He got interested in internet marketing in the summer of 2006, and by the beginning of 2007, he was already a successful affiliate marketer, doing well with products such as Day Job Killer, which he promoted with AdWords, among all things, which is a tough way to drive customers because you can spend a lot of money there. And now he's built a successful list, and like I said, he's walked away from a six-figure job to be full-time internet. So with that out of the way, Odin, thanks for joining us on the call today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure.
It's a great pleasure to come on this show, and I look forward to answering all your questions.
Yeah, I knew that the listeners would actually get a lot out of the things you had to share with us. Now, I know that you really haven't been online all that long. What was it that actually caused you to decide to turn to the internet to build a business?
Well, it's as you almost read some of the story. I have a long history of doing business. As I started as a 14-year-old, persuading my mother to do a business. Actually, she's probably listening to this call right now. Hi, Ma. and later I had this software development company, and for various reasons I had to have a steady job for a number of years, almost 10 years now. But in all that time I had from time to time a desire to start on my own again, and my closest boss for some years always knew that I would. I always told him that one of my vision for the next couple of years would be to start as being my own manager again. So it's no surprise to any of these guys that I would do it. But how I got into I've been looking for what could I do. So it came upon me accidentally because I was. I was planning a trip to the U.S. for my first trip to the U.S. to see the space shuttle go up in July 2006. and had never been to the US and I never seen a space shuttle launch up close, so I really wanted to do that. So I planned a trip to go first to New York City and then down to Orlando to see the space shuttle and then back again to Denmark. And that was a trip all by myself. I couldn't take the family, the family troubles at the time, and they were going to Ivory Coast and I was going nowhere except to the US. So I wanted to find a travel companion, so I went on a dating site called date.com, and well, I didn't find any travel companion, but I found a site called wdating.com. And some of you may know that that's a site under the pen name of David DeAngelo, which I found out a lot later is actually Eben Pagan, a master of marketing.
Yes, now everybody's copying his marketing technique, so you picked a good mentor, I guess.
Yeah, actually, some of my first squeeze pages were models on his. That's kind of funny. So that got me kind of into the seduction community. I never really got much to anywhere in that, but I discovered some of the mechanisms behind it, as well as learning some of the psychological mechanisms behind marketing at the time. And I saw all these sales sites and said to myself, hey, I've been making websites for years in this company I've been working in, and I can do at least as well as they do, and I can write and have written a lot of stuff in the businesses that I worked in. So I can do websites like these guys. I can write as properly as well as they can. I want to do this too. They seem to make a lot of money. Why not me? So that was kind of the attitude I went into it with. So I started gobbling up all kinds of stuff, all kinds of buying all these ebooks and courses and stuff and spending a whole lot of money on it. But I just soaked up a whole lot of knowledge during the fall and winter of 2006. And well, by the time of the early 2007, I was well on my way and started to do these campaigns and getting some success, actually.
It sounds like it. I guess I'm happy but surprised that you happened to pick the right ebooks to follow, because there's so many ebooks out there and courses with bad advice, and yet you seem to have done all the right things.
Yeah, well, I have a knack for finding the correct information among a lot of bad information.
Okay.
So I have an eye for patterns, so I can quickly find a pattern of the good stuff and bad stuff. I've seen a lot of bad stuff, but I managed to latch on to the right gurus on the way, so I have a lot of the right people that I was modeling on.
Now, you seem to have jumped right into attending internet marketing seminars, and you explained part of it was you were planning a trip to the U.S. anyway, but I remember I started in 1996, and it wasn't until 2002 that I attended my first seminar, so that was 6 years. So what caused you to start attending seminars right away and then several in rapid succession?
Yeah, I don't really recall exactly why, but I recall pretty clearly that I saw some advertisement or some sales sites about the precursor, the predecessor of the seminar that I went to in San Francisco, which was well, that was named the World Internet Summit. Internet Main Event.
Okay, Mike Phil.
And yes, Mike Phil Sames event. The Internet Marketing Main Event, I think it was before. Now, anyway, I had seen all of the testimonials on that, and it clicked in my mind that it was a good idea to go to a seminar, but it was kind of out of reach. I didn't, even though I had a nice paid job, I did have a lot of expenses, so it was kind of out of my reach to go to these seminars. But I knew that it was a really good idea to do it because I've seen all these testimonials on and also regular people saying in forums and stuff that it's a great way to build relationships. And in mid-2007, I knew that my business would not be as much as going for the money first, but actually building a brand around my name. Because I'm not the type that goes underground and working undercover and so making my money that way. I'm more about being a bit, I have to admit, I like the spotlight a little bit.
Yes, I could tell from your photo as you're posing.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was actually a very shy boy for many years, actually. So it's been a fantastic journey from being a shy nerd to this expansive guy that I have become, I think. Where was I going with this?
You decided to attend the seminars even though they were fairly expensive and started networking there, I guess.
Yeah. So in mid-2007, Michael Same launched his 7-figure code. Although I had found out that promoting stuff with AdWords was quite an expensive thing to do, I decided to try it anyway because I wanted to see and prove to myself that I could sell a high-ticket product using, well, this method that I knew best. So I did that, and I actually sold some copies, and I got copy number 6 myself, and because I was that quick, I got a bonus, which was a $77 ticket to go to the World Internet main event in San Francisco. So that kind of took away a big chunk of the price of going to a seminar. So basically, I just had to get a plane ticket.
I would think that selling something like the 7-figure code using pay-per-click would be fairly difficult, though. Did you offer bonuses and things like that with it?
Yes, I did. I had my bonuses. I'm not sure that it was the bonuses that sold it, actually. Maybe I was just lucky to catch some of the clicks going through AdWords.
Maybe, because lots of people were competing and offering bonuses, packages, and things like that. So it's just surprising that you would do that well with pay-per-click. But I noticed you've done well with affiliate marketing in general, though. And so it's obvious.
Most of my income is from affiliate marketing.
Excellent. Now, I also noticed that you built your list fairly quickly. Lots of people hear the money's in the list, and yet they make excuses. And they never really, well, they don't get started building a list until years later. How did you build your list so quickly?
Well, it has taken a while. I started, first of all, I want to acknowledge who actually got me started on list building. And that's Tim Brocklehurst. That was all the way back in 2006 when I got on his one of his Freedom List, or whatever it was called. So I had the pleasure of meeting him in San Francisco and in London to these two seminars. And I look forward to meeting him again.
And in London, that was the World Internet Summit, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. But in the spring of 2007, in March, I had determined that, well, the money is in the list, and I didn't have any. I had built some tiny, tiny lists from the AdWords campaigns, pre-selling and doing that stuff. But I didn't really have any skills on email marketing, so I had to start somewhere. So I noticed there was something called JV Giveaways, and a guy called Scott Case had a giveaway called PLR Vault. I think it was number 2 or 3 at the time. So I signed up for that and found some PLR gifts put up, and shortly I had a list of, I think, about 50 to 100 people.
Wow. And that was from primarily from the giveaway?
Only from the giveaway.
Wow, 50 to 100 people from a giveaway.
50 to 100, yeah.
And I know people who've been online for many years who don't have lists that big, so that really is impressive.
Yeah, of course, the giveaway scene has been completely exploding throughout the past year. But still, that tiny, by my standards now, of course, a tiny list, enabled me to leverage that So when I got into the next giveaway, which was Bradley Smith's Easter JV giveaway in April, I could use that as a leverage to get myself a better ranking for the gifts that I could get on there.
Okay.
And he initially allowed unlimited amounts of gifts on his giveaway, which was a first at the time. So I just added gift after gift after gift after gift, and at one point I had 18 gifts and he had to remove some of them.
I've seen people do that before, and I sort of wondered about that, because if the purpose of giving the gift is to get someone to opt into your list, what's the purpose in giving multiple gifts?
Well, there's a pretty clear purpose of that. I didn't know it at the time, but I know now, and I can share this. The purpose is, if you have an option to give three different gifts, then you can give one in different niches.
Ah.
Yeah, so you can you get targeted lists that way.
If you give a gift on list building and one on pay per clicks and one on something else, you're in fact building three separate lists. You send them to separate autoresponders or whatever.
Yeah, I would do that. What I'm doing now is I have, for each gift that I have, and we don't have that many gifts, but for each different gift that I have a separate list.
Okay.
I do broadcasts to all the lists, but I have the option to do a separate, very specific autoresponder sequence for each list.
Okay, and that also makes me wonder, if you have one person who, say, wants three or four gifts, that one person would then be receiving three or four emails, would they not? Or does your autoresponder let you remove duplicates?
Well, I use Aweber, and I use the broadcast method that only sends one email per unique address.
Okay, okay.
So even though I have a lot of subscribers that are on, well, actually, if I count all the subscribers together, I have, Aweber counts, I have double as many as I get when I send a broadcast. So I have duplicates.
Okay.
A lot of duplicates. But when I send out, all these duplicates go away and I have only a unique list. And I use that as a count of the size of my list, not the total set at the bottom of Aweber.
Right. And not all autoresponders remove duplicates. So some would send out two or three emails to the same person. That was why I asked that question.
Yeah, that's pretty annoying.
Yes, it is. Now, you did something actually fairly brave. You quit a six-figure job to go full-time internet, which to me is a big move, because you have to have a lot of confidence in how well you can do in a market that is not always that dependable. I mean, conditions can change, and so was it always your goal to be full-time online?
Yes, it has been. As I said earlier, it's always been my goal to start out on my own again, full time. So that's always what I went for when I determined that this, I had finally found what I was looking for, to build my own business again. Then I had made the decision that as soon as I was ready for it, I would quit my job. I've always quit my job, never been fired.
Okay.
Always quit my job.
And it sounds like when you went in and told your bosses or your coworkers, they weren't surprised, so they knew that you were an independent-minded person who planned on doing that.
Yeah, it's always been in, there are employee interviews on regular intervals in the company with the human resources department. They talk to you about your future plans inside or future plans outside. So
right.
It's always been on the table that I would do this someday, and they have considered themselves lucky that I've stayed that long.
Now, you were able though to go from the summer of 2006 and then to quit in February of this year is really fairly fast. You know, what do you think allowed you to do it so quickly, though, to actually build an online business? And is it, I mean, I'm sure it's something in your personality, but what do you think allows you to actually build a dependable business that you could rely on so quickly?
Well, I have to admit that it's not that dependable. It depends on me it depends on me being pretty active. The money is in the list. Yeah, well, yes, that's correct. If you make your list all the time and you continue to build it, because it will fade out if you don't do anything, and even if you do anything. So, my income is not dependable. It's rising.
Right.
On its own through the activities that I do, and all the partnerships that I'm going into, and all the help that I'm getting and support that I'm getting from guys like you. All that helps, but I need to go into more like membership sites and all other kinds of continuity programs to build a stable foundation to grow on.
And that makes sense. Most people don't realize that even after you've built a business and have a substantial list and lots of websites or whatever, that you still have to continue the marketing, and in fact, when you let up on the marketing, your sales often will drop. And I think most people just think that at some point they can just quit if they want to and just live off of the residual income. I suppose if you had enough membership sites with recurring income, you could do it for a while, but I think even then it would probably drop off eventually.
Yeah, it will drop off unless you have somebody working, maybe not yourself, but somebody else working for you.
Yeah,
I released an
e-book last night or this morning, and in it I talked about ClickBank and recurring income, and one of the things I mentioned in there was with the membership site, if you do it right, you can have the members recruiting new members, and they could continue to grow the site a lot faster than you can if it's structured right, but that's actually sort of difficult. I found that even with the membership site that you're often the primary marketer and doing most of the selling.
Yeah.
Now, you've just launched Daddy's Birthday Giveaway, and that's to celebrate a number of things, including you quitting your job. Why don't you tell the listeners about that, if you would?
Yes, the background for that is actually it goes all the way back since before I went to San Francisco. Stephanie Mulak had a birthday. She had a mommy's birthday, where her daughter celebrated her birthday on the site. And as soon as I saw that, I checked if Daddy's birthday was taken, and it wasn't. So I got that, and of course, then I had committed myself to doing something with it, and it all turned out that I would do this giveaway. It was not the first plan that I had. I had a much grander plan. I had a plan to do a gigantic fire sale in the style of Send Us to U.S., the Malaysian guys.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and. Probably I could have pulled it off, but in January I was down a lot of time due to some coughing sickness that I had, so I just didn't have the energy to pull it off. Plus I saw some bad failed attempts to do fire sales, so I didn't want that to rub off on me. It kind of discouraged me from doing it at least.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, that there's lots of giveaways and lots of fire sales, and it's because they do work. It's just that they have to be unique somehow. And in fact, with so many giveaways these days, I'm sure our listeners are wondering, you know, what's different about yours? What made you, you know, relatively certain it would be a success? How did you make it different in the potential customers' minds?
Well, I didn't intend for it to be particularly unique or anything. I have a unique story that I'm telling on the site, and that's what makes it unique. Actually, is if you cut all the stuff away and just look at the giveaway bare bones, it's just another giveaway. But I have been fortunate enough to have such a unique and interesting story, been lucky to have a lot of contacts as well and a good standing in the giveaway community, that when I announced this giveaway a week before I launched it, and I announced it to a handful of partners that I'm in contact with, then people started rushing in to be contributors, and I didn't expect to reach that many contributors. At launch time, I had more than 600 contributors signed up, and nearly 300 gifts submitted.
More than 600 contributors?
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Not all of them actually submit a gift. Some of them just get in to get the gifts early and so on, but still, I was blown away that it happened that fast and got that big. I really didn't have any idea that it was going to be that big. But I have a lot of feedback from the contributors that mine is unique, and they're telling the other guys that it's unique. And many people, many of the contributors have given better gifts than many other giveaways.
I've noticed that too, and I've seen a lot of giveaways where it was obvious that contributors had just gone over to, I don't know, eBay and purchased a 99-cent product and given that away. And to me, that's almost insulting to your potential subscriber who, if they've seen the same gift, you know, 100 different places, knows that it's not very valuable. And I don't think that would entice many people to join a list like that. But I have noticed the gifts in your giveaway are of higher quality. But you didn't really require that, did you?
Well, actually, I did.
Okay.
I told the contributors at the sign-up page that they should give quality gifts. I didn't expect them to do that, but I still required it. I have accepted almost all gifts anyway. Maybe I should have better quality control, but still, I think the quality of the gifts have been pretty good. Well, another thing that I would like to emphasize about my giveaways, I noticed a lot of giveaways have where the gift graphics are distorted or tiny or just bad looking.
Yeah.
Gift images, and I always hated that. So all the way when part of my success in other giveaways has been that I always resize the gift graphic to the exact required size.
Okay.
So that my gift would stand out as having the most clear picture of all the other gifts around. But what I wanted to do was not put the contributors through all that pain of having to resize their gift, and they didn't do it, and I didn't want my giveaway to look like bad.
Right.
I want mine to look like great. And also, so I chose to, first of all, have a bigger graphic size.
Okay.
And then I had the automatic resizing feature built in. I put that in myself as an enhancement to the software. So that all gifts, regardless of the size, they all look great. If the original is looking good, then it looks great at any size on my giveaway.
And I'm asking a lot of questions that will actually probably encourage competition, because we both know that giveaways do work, but at the same time, we've often logged into a free giveaway and looked at the pictures of the gift and, you know, seen that they weren't very attractive, and I, you know, frankly, will sign up. Will download very few of the gifts if at first glance it turns me off and just appears to be the same gifts I've seen 100 other places. So,
yeah, exactly. If you went into the supermarket and you saw two products, and one is has a crumpled package and another is nice and clean, which one would you pick, right?
Right.
So that's the same. It's the same. This a giveaway is like a supermarket aisle. And you pick the gifts that look great, and you expect the rest of the flow also to be great-looking, as great-looking as the gift image. And that's where a lot of contributors do something wrong. They don't follow up on the promise that they're making with the gift image and the gift text. Then follows a bad experience, and that's too bad for, well, the contributors, of course. But that's for another course.
Yes, and I've actually noticed as I'm looking through some of the free giveaways that the images seem to have nothing to do with the gift even. I see quite a few images, I guess, designed to grab attention, you know, maybe animated gifts or something, but they have nothing to do with the product. And I fail to see why those are used, too.
Well, they are used as attention grabbers. But what kind of targeting is that?
Yes. I guess if someone looks at a list of, say, 100 GIFs or 200 GIFs, they have to find the ones they want. And so, yes, if you can pull their eyes to it, I can see that working. You also pointed out that many people who register as contributors do it so they can get to the GIFs early. I had not thought about that, but is that so they can be the first one to market those GIFs? Why would they want to get them early?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they just want them early.
Okay.
Yeah, as you said, maybe the... Well, as you know, probably 99 or 98% of people do absolutely nothing with the GIFs anyway.
Right.
For me, it doesn't really matter if they get in early to get the gifts as a fake contributor. Still, it's a bit annoying that so many sign up and not give any gifts.
Right. No.
And I can also see when the giveaway started that even a lot of the contributors that did leave a gift did not promote the giveaway. So.
And I see the problem there, and I think you and I both did, and it's that there are so many giveaways at the same time, and if I've noticed that if I try to promote like several giveaways in one email, people sort of glaze over the email and don't really read it. They don't focus on any one thing, and so we have to promote just one giveaway. So if I'm registered for like four, then it's difficult. And I see a lot of contributors to these giveaways, you know, being in multiple giveaways, and so I say part of the problem is that they're in too many giveaways.
Yeah, it's a problem for me as well. I'm also in almost all of the giveaways at the same time, and it is hard to promote all of them. And I have also noticed that if you have, well, more than one thing, if it's a giveaway or multiple products or anything, you really have to focus on just one thing in the entire email. If you want to get a good response from that.
Yeah, and that's a lesson that I should have known, but it wasn't until recently that I think you pointed out to me. Because actually another giveaway that I am promoting did too, where the other sponsor was upset because I didn't send a solo mailing that only promoted his giveaway, and it was because I had several others that all launched on the same day, and so it was difficult.
That's a problem. The general problem is that there are too many launches, giveaways, or regular products. There are too many all at once, and you really have a problem picking out which one. And
right.
As you know, to really get a good response from a list to any given launch, you have to promote it over a period of time, not just do a solo once, because people have to see it at least two or three or four times before they really respond to it, and that's really hard when if you only do giveaways, it's hard to make any money from your list.
Yeah, well, and I'm actually quite impressed with the results you've gotten. You mentioned that you, I think the one giveaway where you got like 5,000 subscribers. I promoted some really big giveaways, like Mark Hendricks' 12 Days of Christmas, and I don't think in any single giveaway I got that many subscribers, but then most of the subscribers were already on my list, and a lot of times I was giving something that they probably had already seen, so that's a problem too.
I had my gift on Mark Hendricks' 12 Days of Christmas. I got just about 2,000 subscribers from one gift I had on there, and my gift wasn't even on there the whole time.
Okay.
I made a slight mistake, so I got kicked off.
Okay.
Luckily, I could pick up on another giveaway. So in total, that gifts my how to make your own professional WordPress blog. It's a video tutorial. That gift has. Given me signups over 5,000, maybe 6,000 by now, the total, from a lot of different giveaways. Mark Hendricks managed to give me 2,000, and some of Henry Gold's 117 giveaways have given me a couple of thousand more, and all the other giveaways have given the rest.
So the free giveaway is our work for you. Why don't we give our listeners the URL for your giveaway? And this giveaway is lasting for a total of 10 days, correct?
It's for 2 weeks until March 2nd.
March 2nd. And you, a good URL, one that would work for anybody listening up through that time?
Yes, an easy URL to remember is it's daddysbirthday.com/giveaway.
daddysbirthday.com/giveaway. And how many gifts are there now? Have you checked, you know, or is that something you want to mention?
The problem is that some gifts are starting to disappear automatically because some contributors are promoting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's somewhat less than 200 at the moment.
Okay.
But I will have a competition on, probably starting Monday or Tuesday, where all the gifts will be on again, and everyone will have a chance to get all their gift on the first page as a part of the contest.
I don't see having fewer gifts as a problem, because what people really should be interested in is finding quality gifts. And so with any of the giveaway, you should log in, you should look through them and see ones that you products you think you're actually going to use and that are quality products. And to me, actually, that is why I would want to join the person's list, too, because they give me quality rather than just taking for granted me as a customer.
Yeah, you see, but what makes me sad is that some of these gifts are actually quality gifts. It's the contributors who are not quality.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
So maybe I want to go back and handpick some and just handhold them so that they can get these quality gifts anyway, even though the contributor is not doing his job. So I'm doing this giveaway for myself, for the members who come on to get the gifts, and for the contributors.
Okay.
And I try to do a good balance on it, so I get something out of it. The contributors build their list, and well, quite frankly, a giveaway is not free for everyone. People actually buy stuff on giveaways. They buy the upgrade.
Right.
Contributors buy the upgrade. And I've actually had quite a lot of income from this giveaway.
And I've watched that too, and a lot of people who've not hosted free giveaways don't realize that it's not uncommon to make thousands of dollars from a free giveaway, which is why I stayed up most of last night putting the finishing touches on an ebook that I'm giving away in a giveaway that started today. That, and also because while I watch all these people giving away junk products, you and I put together quality products, and I actually build back end into my products. So I think of a giveaway as an opportunity to put a billboard or an advertisement or a brochure in a customer's hand. So I have to prove to them my value to them with the gift, but also offer back end products in it. So I think people make a mistake when they don't offer a quality gift.
Yes, exactly. See, this. Well, there's all this talk about the marketing funnel and getting people in the wide end of the funnel with free giveaways, or even moving the free line, as some people say. But what it's really all about is building a relationship with the prospects from the beginning, and the first contact with the prospects who hopefully becomes a customer further down in the funnel is to give away some quality information. In this case, a form of gifts.
Right.
And then continuing that relationship by having conversations maybe not personal conversations with everyone, but a conversation in the prospect's mind that you're on the same level and you know, understand the prospect's problems and you have the solutions and you present your solutions, some of them free, some of them not, and you present your solutions and build a relationship with the prospects, and some of them will be customers, some of them will think you are a jerk and leave, and well, that's just the life of a list. People
yeah.
come in, people leave, some are happy, some are not, and your task is to build a relationship so that most people stay and become customers.
Excellent advice. Now, do you find the free giveaways as effective as they used to be then? I mean, you're still participating in a lot of them, so you must find them useful.
Yes. the money is in the list is true. The quality, well, I can hardly complain because I've attributed my list in just 2 months now. Since the 12 days of Christmas, I have almost tripled the list.
Tripled your wow.
Yeah. Of course, it's a lot of a part of it. It is leverage. The bigger your list, the bigger you can make it, because it all generates traffic, and I can funnel the traffic from one giveaway to another giveaway, and back through a number of giveaways, so it all builds faster and faster.
Okay, and a lot of people probably don't think about that having a bigger list offers that leverage, and it's easier to grow your list because it is big.
Exactly. I use this technique, which we can call it the secret just for this call.
Okay.
I used my membership of the 12 Days of Christmas to build a really good position and a top 5 position, actually. I've won a top 5 prize in another giveaway because I funneled the traffic directly from the 12 Days of Christmas into the other giveaway, which was starting to close.
Okay.
So I rocketed my position, which was a top 20 position, to a top 5 position in just a few days and won a big prize.
Now, we know that when we have these giveaways that the giveaway host tracks who's sending the most new members or making the most sales or sending the most JV partners, and so within the membership site, the contributors see how we rank. Have you found that to help you to get joint ventures with other contributors to these giveaways?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've always made it a point in the giveaways that I really put my weight into is to get as many JV partners referred from me to the giveaway that I want to enter myself, because usually contributors give a better ranking for your gifts than regular members, and by referring other contributors, you get your gift ranked better from the start, instead of having to rush a lot of members in to get your gift up after the fact.
Okay, and for our listeners there, when you log into a free giveaway, you see the gifts listed in an order, and usually that order is based on the number of referrals the contributors made, either the number of referrals of members or the number of referrals of JV partners. And as Odin was pointing out, JV partners are generally worth more points because that's more people to promote the event. And so that's a good tip. Let's see. What other tips would you offer to someone who wanted to use free giveaways as a starting point for building a list? And we've already touched on one thing that I like was you mentioned making some of the other contributors to the JV, potential JV partners. I like that you mentioned that you connected with the Mulex, for example, and you named a few other people. Not that I'm trying to give you answers.
the main thing is to have a good gift, good quality gifts with a good quality graphic and a good quality text to add it. And if you can, make your own personal gifts, your own personal products. That's true even if you're not even in giveaways, but having your own product is almost always better than just, in quotes, just being an affiliate. I can attribute much of my success in list building to the gifts that I created personally, which has been the first one that I created personally was a set of graphic buttons called the Aqua Power Buttons, which will be on another giveaway soon.
Right.
I've used them before, but I've not used them in a long time. And then this video tutorial series, which has been such a big success. If I had chosen just any old Master Resale Rights product or PLR product with giveaway rights, first of all, I would compete with a lot of other guys who try to submit the same gift.
Right.
And they would be seeing the same old from different contributors. And that has hurt me in the past. when I used other people's products as my gifts.
And
so
I noticed that when I log in to a free giveaway and I see the same gift because they allow duplicate submissions, and I see the same gift listed two or three times, that I tend not to download that gift because I figure it's already saturated in the marketplace.
Yeah. I'm getting worried about my gift. It's still getting downloaded quite a lot and still getting a lot of signups. But I'm afraid that I might be saturating soon. And actually, I actually want to sell it as a paid product at some point. So I'm looking into creating another product to put up as a giveaway instead of this one. So it has a limited shelf life as a giveaway soon.
Okay. Well, now, we have a few people on the chat line, but I don't see any of those submitting questions. We don't have anyone on the live phones, and so we'll just continue with the questions until somebody types in a question for us. And this is going to be in the archives at Blog Talk Radio for forever. So even after the giveaway is over with, people will be able to go over and check out your websites and what you're up to. And also, they're learning a lot about how to actually grow their list from participating in free giveaways, which brings me to another question. A lot of people, I hang out on forums like the Warrior Forum, places like that, and I listen to people talk about the quality of the subscriber you get. You know, they talk about being just freebie seekers. Mm-hmm. How would you respond to someone who says you're not really getting a quality subscriber from one of these free giveaways?
Well, they are right and they are wrong. They are. It's true that the quality. Well, I don't have subscribers from anything else but giveaways. Almost all my traffic is from giveaways.
Okay.
And my own lists. That's the totality of traffic. I don't use other traffic methods yet, even though I should. But the point is, yes, the subscribers that you get from giveaways, a large portion of those will be freebie seekers, and you will not get customers out of them. When I look at my AWeber stats right now, I can see that 25% have unsubscribed.
Okay.
In the entire history of all the lists that I have, and that I have no idea if that's good or bad, but that's just a fact. 25% have left me for whatever reason, a part of the reason is that I'm one of those marketers who made my list almost every day, and that has a tendency to weed out a certain group of people who don't like to be mailed every day.
Right.
But those who stay, I see, have either given me a black hole email address that they never respond to, or they are actually like what I'm saying.
Yeah, and sometimes it's difficult to tell which of your readers are actually listening. I even sometimes send out like probe emails. For example, I sent one out yesterday that invited my readers to go and look at some new pictures I've taken. Part of the reason was I wanted to see if people were actually paying attention to my emails. And I had well over 100 people go and make comments on new photos I've taken. So that says that my email is getting through, first of all. I'm not blacklisted. And secondly, that people are actually reading and responding to my email. So that's a good thing. Because sometimes, quite frankly, you'll send out an email and you'll notice almost no response, and you'll wonder if it actually even went out.
Yeah. Yeah, for luckily, AWeber gives you good stats on that. If you format your emails correctly, you can see both open rates and click-through rates. And I use those to get a feeling for what works and what doesn't, like, you know, what kind of subject lines work and which do not. So through testing, I found which kinds of subject lines work well for referring, for example, subscribers to other giveaways. Usually something like download your free gifts, or here is your gift, or here's your video, or something like that. And that usually gets a good click-through rates and open rate, and also good click-through rates to what I'm actually promoting.
And so I imagine that knowing that they joined your list through a free giveaway, you know that they're interested in free giveaways, so that's one of the things you would promote to your list naturally. But have you noticed them making, you know, a lot of purchases of other products, maybe inexpensive related products?
Um, Well, one of the things that I should do, but really haven't done enough, is to have these autoresponder sequences that automatically mail them related information and offers. I've started to create a sequence for my WordPress blog list, and that does give me results because, well, that's a very targeted list on how to do on WordPress blog interested people, of course, and there's a whole host of products that I can that can offer to those guys, as well as information of my own. So I put a couple of mails in there, and then actually also made some sales. Some sales come actually in. Come in due to those follow-up sequences. So that part of list building and email promoting also works, and I need to do more of that because that's also a source of residual income. As long as you're getting traffic, getting referrals, subscribers to your list, and you have a follow-up sequence in place, you enter it once and you leave it, that automatically gives you sales.
And I know you're doing something that a lot of people actually don't do, which is you're segmenting your list so you know what they're interested in because you know what gift they downloaded. So many people who participate in free giveaways or build a list anyway, they just put them all into one list, one master list, and there you really don't know what they're interested in. So you're doing a great thing there. Now, we have about 8 minutes remaining, and we still don't have anyone on the phone. We do have a number of people on the chat. I do encourage them to just type in your questions or comments for Odin, but it could be just that we're giving such great advice that they would prefer just to listen. So if they have questions, I encourage them to type in. If not, why don't you tell us about what big projects you have planned next, something that you care to share with the listeners?
Yeah, basically, I think I have learned so much from my experiences as a giveaway contributor myself, and even more as a host for this giveaway. So even though there are products out there which you tell a lot about how to be a contributor, how to be a host, I think that I have a story to tell and some more things to tell that I learned during my giveaway. So I'm planning to write an ebook, probably not too long, but just a short ebook, hopefully, about my experiences and my tips and advice for holding a quality giveaway. And I plan to write that during these couple of weeks that I'm holding the giveaway so that I can release that as a product soon after. So that's kind of the next product.
And I know people who participate in giveaways who only receive a couple hundred or maybe 1,000 subscribers. So the fact that you in one of your first giveaways got 5,000 subscribers and in the 12 days of Christmas got several thousand subscribers, that says that you're achieving above average results in and working these giveaways, so it's certainly something that you're doing something right that a lot of others aren't doing, and so I think that would make your book in itself worthwhile. And so for the listeners who want to maybe go and check out what you're doing, again, this is going to be in our archives for a while, so there'll be people listening to that this, you know, weeks and hopefully even. So where would they go to, what website would you send them, encourage them to go to later on and just listen to the recording?
Well, they can always go to my main personal blog, which is odinsorensen.com, which is, to spell it out, odinsorensen.com. The kind of unusual spelling, if anyone knows the Nordic gods names, The spelling of my name, Odin, with two N's, is the Icelandic variant of it. So I'm keeping that to be a little bit unique.
Yes. Okay. And so.
That's a blog where it's actually not always as up to date as I wanted, strangely enough, because I'm having a blogging product, but still, it's the place to be to find me to. I have a prominent sign-up box to get on my list from there, and there's a link to my help desk where you can also contact me. And of course, I'll try to keep it as updated as possible with whatever I'm doing. So that's a good place to find me. Always, you can always Google my name and it will come up.
You mentioned that you've done a number of giveaways, or you're planning something related to giveaways. Do you talk about the different platforms that people can use for giveaways? For example, I've used one that I wasn't very thrilled with. You know, the software itself that powers the giveaway, and I know there's four or five out there. I've seen Brad Smith's, for example. Do you have a favorite one that you'd recommend somebody thinking about doing a free giveaway, or is that something you'd would you rather not make a recommendation at this point?
Well, I wish I could make a true review of each of them, but as a matter of fact, I have only tried one,
okay.
And that's Brad Smith's. I bought it back in when he released the version 1 back last year, with, of course, the intention of making my own giveaway at the time, but never got around to it. But I chose Brad's giveaway manager version 2 in a beta edition, and I applied for the beta program because I knew the software pretty well. I had made some startups, I had made the beginnings of some giveaways which never got released, so I knew the software pretty well, how to get started in it. So choosing to sign up for that beta program was a no-brainer for me. So, and also because Brad was one of the original reasons why I built my list, so I have a good relationship with him. So what I can recommend is, my personal experience with the giveaway software is with Giveaway Manager, and when that gets released in this version 2, which would include a whole lot of my enhancements in the main product, that gets released sometime in April, probably after the Easter JV giveaway.
Okay, so Brad Smith, Easter giveaway, I'm sorry, JV giveaway manager, that was called?
Giveaway manager.
Giveaway manager,
just,
okay.
Yeah, giveaway manager. I don't know if it's pro or something. It will be pro by the time I'm done with.
Well, I have Brad's software too. I've looked at two or three different ones, and I liked his quite a bit. I actually tried a different one that the programmer still needed to do a lot of work on it. Let's say that, and so it didn't do a lot of things. It didn't interface well with PayPal, for example, things along that line.
Yeah, I have to say that I like the look and feel of Scott Case's, I believe it's Ultimate JV Giveaway script, and I almost wanted to buy that to use it, but I knew that I wanted to make mine look more unique, and also exceed the design and look and feel of the original giveaway managers. So
right.
I wanted to apply my look and feel to it, and I had a feeling that maybe if I chose the other script, then I would be having to make too many strange edits to it. So
that makes sense. And then
I felt that giveaway manager, the beta version, I could put my fingerprints on it, and they would stay in the software because it would be so good that they would want to get my version and put it out as the main version, you see, and they're actually just planning to do that.
And I say we've only got about 30 seconds to go, so what I would like to do is, first of all, thank you for taking time out to join us today and to share your knowledge with us, and I want to encourage people to be on the lookout for your new ebook that shares your experience and benefiting from JVs. I know that after listening to this call that they will understand and know the real value in what your experience is, you know, because, again, I don't know many people who've generated 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 sign-ups from a single giveaway, so you're certainly doing something right. Why don't you give them again the URL for your current giveaway?
Yes, that's daddysbirthday.com/giveaway.
daddysbirthday.com/giveaway. And if they want to check you out, they can also go to your blog, right?
Yeah, and when even after that giveaway stops, that will redirect to any other giveaway that I might be doing at the time or some other giveaways that I want to promote.
Okay, excellent. And we've got about 15 seconds remaining. Any closing comments or thoughts for our listeners?
Well, have a clear vision of what you want to achieve. I have some very vivid visions of my future, and I look forward to standing on stage sometime in next year and telling my story and giving you all kinds of tips at a seminar. That's my vision.
Okay, and I look forward to seeing you and maybe sharing the stage with you. So with that, we are out of time. I do want to thank you for joining us. Thank you very much for joining us and for sharing your wisdom with us, Odin.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Take care.